Yeah, that's certainly been part of it. We're fortunate to have a couple coming back. Obviously, we'd like to have Jeremy available, but it changes the look of our forward line, which is not preferable, but it's not necessarily a complete negative. Looks like the conditions are going to be pretty good, so forwards that can jump at the ball are going to be an asset, especially when they're matched up against players like Wiedering and Jones in particular, who like to jump at the ball themselves.
Do you bring Asava in to play that role forward, or do you go Tumble?
No, I think so. I think our plan, irrespective of Jeremy's condition, was to bring Asava back, so that makes that even more likely. The rest of it, we're going to take a little bit more time to work through exactly, but we're in the fortunate position where we do have some options that we like. And then that's probably going to be the case over the next month or so, that the team we pick each week is not necessarily going to be the team that we think is the best at the end of the year. We want to make sure we give some opportunity to players and keep guys in good form and keep them fresh as well. So yeah, there's a bit on our mind when it comes to the team we pick, not only this week but in the subsequent few weeks.
Disappointing for Jeremy, obviously. You just can't take it.
Yeah, look, I think there's a combination of things. There's certainly a bit of bad luck there as well, but we're optimistic that it's not a serious issue. But it is his third issue in a hamstring, so that in itself, before you delve down into the detail, it is a concern that demands a cautious and thorough evaluation. So I wish I could tell you exactly where it's going to land. I'm really confident that it's not a very long-term issue. But I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a really quick recovery, that we just err on the side of caution, because there's still seven games to go and hopefully a decent final series for us. So there is time.
Given he himself admitted that he went into the game tight in both hamstrings, did you sort of ask further questions early in the week with your medical staff, just the decision to play?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we review all of these things, but overlaid with all of those conversations is the acknowledgement, the recognition that we're all in it together. And then obviously you defer, at least in our system, you defer to the experts when those decisions need to be made. But then in the retrospective analysis, then we've got to ask some hard questions. And it's a really difficult one to address publicly, because it's complicated, the analysis. And I could cherry pick bits and pieces to make it look better or worse, but the reality is it would be incomplete. We're very confident in our medical staff. It is a gross oversimplification to say he was tight pre-game, so he shouldn't have played.
Is it the sort of thing that clubs are making decisions on players in similar situations weekly?
Multiple times a week. Yeah, and I think that it's a really good point you make, and I should have made it more clearly. When you have situations like this, it's easy to say, well, that on the surface doesn't look like a very good decision. The reality is there are multiple decisions around players, one status to be available to play, but then in-game as well. Is this something that he can keep going with? What are the long-term ramifications? What are the risks in the short term? That's why that team, the medical sports science team, is under such pressure, because those things are those decisions are grey, even with the benefit of hindsight, and it happens much, much more often than I think most people would assume.
Has he been able to train much this year anyway?
Yeah, he has. I'm not exactly sure what's been said publicly, so I'm loath to go into detail and contradict people, but especially Jeremy himself. But no, he's been on what I would call a managed program for the whole year, especially after his first hamstring. But to extrapolate managed and get to he's hardly trained is not right. So he's had a different program to the base template for the overall squad, but that applies to 75% of our list.
Is Sean Higgins an automatic inclusion this week after being managed last week, or is there a chance that he might need to come back
and I think he's closer to an automatic back in, but I don't want to give that guarantee right at the moment, because we're we are in the process of working through, as I said earlier, not just this week, but the next month or so. And Sean's not a bad example of a player that we prioritise being in sort of peak health, if you like. So that incorporates fitness, freshness, you know, match fitness, all those sort of things towards the end of the year, as opposed to sort of any short-term decision. So again, like, there are options on the table for players in that category, but you just got to be careful of looking at it from the outside. That's the part I'd caution. Don't look at it and say, well, what does that mean for XYZ's position in the team? It's not as relevant as you might think.
Yeah. And so with the shorter break that you've got now heading into Freo next week, do you look at selection sort of forecasting for that shorter turnaround, or is that more something that comes next week? So you might play some of the more experienced players this week and then give them the rest, or do you look to say rest them now so that they don't have that 5-day break? What?
Combination of all those things. So the 5-day break, trip to Perth, factors in our thinking. Would be crazy to ignore that when we've been spending so much time on how we manage our players. But yeah, it's so to your hypothetical, it's not one or the other, it's probably a combination of both, which will become clearer over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I just really don't like forecasting it with too much specificity, because the only thing I know is our plan will change.
What do you think of Sean?
His year in general, he hasn't hit the heights that I think he's capable of with us, but he's had some interruptions. You know, the most obvious is coming into a new system, playing a different role. He broke his thumb, it's just 4 weeks, did a 4-week hamstring. He's had some interruptions there. So, no, I don't think he's hit the heights that we think he will in the future, but we're still confident he will.
It's Joel Selwood. Spoke sort of pre-season, paraphrasing here, that he didn't think he'd play 22 home and away games. Has the thinking changed slightly because of what he's produced, and he still looks on top of the ground, or do you have to factor in that 33 years and 325 games, and at some stage he might need a break?
Yeah, no, I think that's still the likelihood. Yeah, I think. Gee, it was an early forecast pre-season, and it's a little bit clearer now, but I think, no, it's still the way we think about our players. But again, I don't want to make a bigger issue of it than it is, because my experience with these things is too much gets read into it. What's your best team? How you take liberties? You know, well, it's just there's a whole lot of questions that I don't really want to answer by putting them on the table, except to say that we've been clear for a long time now that have a lot of faith in the way we manage our players, and it won't always seem obvious at first blush, but there's a lot of thought that goes into it from our end, and you know, in the fullness of time, if it's seen to be a success or otherwise, it won't be because we didn't spend enough time on it.
Mark O'Connor, definitely, well, for want of, you know, 48 hours out, but is more likely than unlikely?
Yeah, I think he'll play.
Yeah. Charlie Constable, I know he's been thereabouts, but
yeah.
Does he have to do much more in the VFL?
Oh, that's a very hard question to answer, because it depends sort of on the circumstances week to week, and circumstances that are a lot more involved than just how well he plays. Like, so the part he's got to look after is playing as well as he can, that it just becomes so difficult to leave him out. And I think he's going close to delivering on that. But then there are other factors. And the unfortunate part for a lot of players, you know, if you strip it right back, what do you have to do? You need to be better than the guy who's in your spot. And there's a pretty good player sort of in his spot at the moment, but that's not locked and loaded, at least over the medium term.
Lockie Anderson plays his 200th game this week. It's a pretty remarkable story, given he was off the list a couple of years ago. Yes, a comment on his journey at the club and his time in the game.
Yeah, I think it's clear to us internally how important he's been for us. And I'd like to think that our club's been good for him too. I think he was really good for a period of time there. And then it did look like it was sort of almost coming to an end, his time, or our time together. And he's found a way to reinvent himself, and I mean, the part that I admire about Lockie and the way he goes about it, and he's always been a selfless player, but he's taken that to another level. I don't think he's driven by individual accolades or even playing for as long as he can. He just wants to be as good an influence over his teammates and the wider team as he possibly can. He's a key defender. He's done that really well this year.
Expecting to be here next year, Chris?
I don't see any reason why not right at the moment. But yeah, that's an unfair question to ask of me in July. Because one, I don't make the decisions. And two, there's a bit of water to go under the bridge.
You've got two 100 games this weekend. Sam Metagola did it the real hard way to get here. And Zach Tui has proved to be an acquisition. Can you give us some thoughts on both of those gentlemen as they come into the 100 game?
Yeah, just been fantastic for us. I think Sam Menegola was an underrated player for a long time without being underrated internally at the Cats. And it's good to see him getting some recognition. But again, you know, I think that that is a good example of a relationship that's been good for both parties. And Zach Tui came, I guess he came to prominence in our team at a similar sort of time, playing in a similar position as that hard-running, high-back winger. I think all the guys we've mentioned, it's not just their on-field performance, but they've had a real impact on the way we go about things. And I think sometimes we can overplay the fact that we're trying to build a good culture that people want to be a part of, and underplay the role that those people coming in have on building the culture. And you know, Menegola in his own way, Tui certainly is a part of our leadership group, have had a big influence on who we are today, because we're different to the organisation we were 5 years ago.
Chris, it's been reported that Brad's still got the coaching right. Have you, in your chats with him recently, sort of get a feeling that
you're not thrilled to have it today? I just don't want to get into it. To answer the question properly, I'd have to go and ask him, you know, are they right? I suspect I know more than they do. But I don't know. Try not to repeat what I said a while ago. Like, yeah, the question of whether he should do it is a different one to whether I think he should do it. You know, I guess I will repeat that. You know, there's a few people in a similar position. If you're going to commit to it, it's a big commitment. And I think second time round, you're more aware of what a commitment it is and requires just a little bit more thought. But yeah, I mean, the other thing is, I think if he comes back, he'll do a good job and make my life harder at least once, maybe twice a year. I'd prefer he didn't do it from that perspective.
He's also been linked to Steve Watkins, now vacant job as well, sort of given the role that he's had at AFL Vic. Have you sort of spoken to him? Have you got a view on which role would be the more thankless task, coaching an AFL team than the AFL footy department?
So I don't feel comfortable talking about my brother, full stop, but it's an interesting spin you put on it. Like, which one's hard? I think Hawks overplayed it a little bit, but honestly, never lose, turn up every week. I don't think it's going to change if people say the umpiring was poor on the weekend. Like, they're both hard jobs. No, I've got nothing funny to say. Hawk, yeah, so the serious part there is I think, and it's not just my opinion, it's the opinion of most associated with the club, it's a coup. To get him back to the club. He's one of the best people that I've worked with in football. And one of the things that, amongst many, that he's very good at is recognising when things need a little bit of a shake-up. I don't think it makes everyone here, while we think it's a coup, it doesn't necessarily make us more comfortable. I think it reminds us that it's a hard competition and we've got to be really driven and dot all the I's and cross all the T's to have success. Yeah, he'll really help with that.